As I look out over the audience and we see a whole lot of empty seats. The old story comes to mind that I know you've heard before about Carl Hurley when he went to a place to speak. Sat down on the front row and a guy come up and sat by him. He looked back over his shoulder and wasn't nobody in the auditorium. And Carl Hurley asked him, said, "Who was responsible for telling people I was going to be here?" The guy said, "I don't know who it was, but I'm going to sure find out." So whoever it was responsible for telling that I was going to preach tonight, please be sure and find us who it is. I want to request your prayer, especially for Shirley. She's really having a tough time right now. She's doing her best not to get to a point that she got here some while back when she had to spend quite a bit of time in the hospital. Her breathing is progressively getting worse. That's the way COPD does it. So I request your prayers. I covet your prayers on her behalf. The text, if you want to look at it, is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15. The Holy Spirit had the wise man to write these words. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know, people are strange in their beliefs, especially when it comes to those who see themselves as being wise, when in reality, they're very foolish. Benjamin Franklin once wrote these words. He said that the learned fool writes his nonsense in a better language than the unlearned, but still it's nonsense. The fool is right in his own eyes. The word fool and plural of it, fools, are found 113 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. And within the New Testament alone, we find 8 different words translated either as fool, foolish, foolishly, or foolishness. And I quote to you from W.E. Vine's book, Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, where he says that, but these words speak of those who are without reason, without understanding, who are dull, sluggish. Therefore, he goes ahead to say, stupid, foolish, without discernment, to make foolish, to be deranged, or foolishness, or senseless. I'm just almost certain in the course of your lives and my life, we've come across some people who are like this. At one time or another, they act like someone devoid of their senses. In other words, those who are acting foolishly. You know, the Apostle Paul dealt with those kind of people. If you would like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, we read these words. Who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. To the Jews, they request a sign, and Gentiles seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then in verse 25, Paul said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so you can see that since the beginning of time, there are people who act in a very foolish manner. Many times they're referred to as fools. In our lesson tonight, I want to discuss the idea of a fool is always right. But I'm going to add to that in his own mind. A fool is always right in his own mind. But before we get to that, we need to clear up something. What we're to discuss tonight is not a contradiction of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22 in the Sermon on the Mount. There Jesus speaks of the person who implies that another is morally worthless, one who is a scoundrel and one who is a reprobate. He did not speak of one referring to another as a fool due to their foolish actions. If so, he would stand self-condemned, would he not? When we look at the parable of the rich fool, and he was referred to as a fool in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. So in considering this subject, we're not left unable to determine who this might be as far as the Word of God is concerned. You know, God knows man inside and out, and he can make the determination. The Word of the Bible, the Word of God, comes from God. And we can make the determination by using the record that's here for us, that's laying in your laps, laying beside of you, the Word of God. So as long as we look to the Word, as long as we look to the Bible, we might be able to make the determination in this particular matter. And there are five points I want us to look at where people are referred to as fools, those who would be right in their own mind. The first one I'd direct your attention to is found in Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1. And here the psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Here the psalmist goes ahead to say, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. Notice in these verses that the scripture describes this person as one who is vile and who is corrupt. But why does the Bible say that this person is a fool who says there is no God? Why does he say that? Well, he claims there's no God. And that in itself would not make him a fool. But what makes him a fool is he does not consider the evidence that's before him. Pick up the Bible and read about it. Or go outside at night and stare at the stars. And tell me that there's not a hand that's behind all of these things that we say and that we believe dear in our hearts. Have the audacity then to say, there is no God. The Holy Spirit says you're a fool because you have not accepted the evidence. That's how a case is proved, by evidence. The evidence is there. That there is a God in heaven. That watch you have on your wrist just did not happen by chance. That car that you set in to come here and leave here in a few minutes did not happen by chance. That house that you live in did not just spring up overnight. There's something behind all of that. And this great universe that we see that in Psalm chapter 19, the firmament declare the glory of God. And the handiwork of God can be seen. So a person who says there is no God really wishes in his heart there was no God. There is no God. Because he does not want to give an account to God for the way that he's lived here on the face of this earth. No one that has this particular idea wants to understand or come to an idea that they're going to have to answer for the deeds they do here on the face of this earth. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the fool is always right in his own mind. The second point I want to make, that one who trusts in his own heart is a fool, although he thinks he's right. Now, this person depends upon his own judgment to the conclusion of what God has had to say about it. Go back again to our text in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. the fool. The Bible says that he's right in his own eyes. And he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. So a person who does not hearken to counsel, a person who does not adhere to the word of God, is very foolish indeed. Because heaven is too wonderful and hell is too horrible and hell is too long for us to just to take these things lightly. And to do so, my friends, we're very foolish. We're very foolish. You can't trust your heart. You can't trust your heart. Because man's heart is subject to error. You go to the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. I found it out in the physical sense, and it's right in the spiritual sense. I've often said the time that I was going toward J-Rab, and I thought I was coming to Decatur, if it's Shirley had been with me, and she said, "You're going wrong," I would have argued with her till I got to the city limits of Arab, you know. That's where we are sometimes in the spiritual realm. They will not accept the evidence. They say, "I feel it right here. I feel it right here." Had a man one time to tell me that he wouldn't trade his feeling he had in his heart for all the Bibles in the world. He was right in his own eyes. But the Bible says, you're very foolish. You're very foolish indeed. You know, Paul talked about some in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They refused to glorify God. They claimed to be wise, he said, in the first chapter of the book of Romans. But they indeed were fools. They become fools. Jeremiah reveals to us the mind of God when he says that it's not in mankind to direct his own steps. In other words, I'm not smart enough to direct my own steps, spiritually speaking. I've got to have a guide. I've got to have a map. I've got to have the word of God, because I can't trust my heart. It was Jeremiah who said, "The heart is deceitfully above all things. Who can understand it?" Your heart has to be right, but it has to be governed by what the Bible declares unto you. This individual, of course, would sets his judgment above God's. So when we trust in our feelings instead of God's word, we are extremely foolish. God's judgments are true. A friend of mine, and I think Danny remembers Steve Basham. I heard Steve on a number of occasions in teaching in the Bible class, when he stands before God on judgment, and Steve has gone on to his reward, that whatever judgment that God placed upon him would be true. He said, "If God says to me to go to the left, it will be a true judgment." And I believe that myself. If I'm lost eternally, because God is just in his judgment, and I cannot trust my heart. If I had my way, all men would be saved, would they not? That's the heart. And I'd be foolish in that respect. Sometimes we are so caught up between how we feel and what God's word says. And I know I've told you the story, a true story that came out of World War II, when the pilot was training to be a pilot in World War II. And his instructor on the first day he was there, and he sat down into a cockpit, a mock-up cockpit, and the instructor said, "You trust this panel or it will kill you." My friends, when you sit in the cockpit with God in his Lord's church, you've got to trust the panel. You've got to trust the word. You can't trust your heart. Jeremiah says it's so deceitfully wicked, and who can understand it? But a person who trusts in his own heart and his own feelings is a fool in his own mind. He's right in his own mind. Let's move on to another point right quick. The covetous man is a fool, although he thinks he's right. You turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, begin it. Here we have the parable of the rich fool. Oh, he had it made. The ground that he planted his crops in just produced unbelievably, but he didn't give God credit. God placed in his hands the stewardship of that, and he just took it for granted. The words of the Apostle Peter come to mind in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, I believe it is, where he says we need to be good stewards. When we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account whether or not we are good stewards of the Word of God. Here was a man who was weighed and he was found wanting. And God said to him, "Thou fool, thou fool." You know, he said, "You know, I've done so well. Look at me, man. I've just got everything I need. I know what I'm going to do. I don't have no place to give my goods. I'm gonna make a few adjustments here, and I'm going to have it made for a long time." He said, "You know, I'm going to tear down my barns." "You got barns?" "Yeah, I'm going to tear down my old barns, because I ain't got no place to put my goods." He violated a principle that's been set forth by God after the Garden of Eden, that we are, as individuals upon the face of this earth, to be concerned about those round about us who are less fortunate. Pure religion, James says, is to take care of the fatherless and the widows. There was a barn of poor widows, no doubt, close by that he could have, you know, invested some of his goods. There was the orphan, there was the poor, there was the needy. And yet he said, "I'm going to do this. It's for my benefit." Thou fool, what's going to happen to you? Well, God says, tonight, you're not going to be here anymore. And all of that effort you put forth, it's going to belong to somebody else. The fool is right. He's always right in his own mind, in his own eyes. And this man thought he was right in that respect. Verses 17, 18, and 19 of Luke chapter 12. Notice how many times the pronoun I or I'll is used. So it was God and not man was able to him to have the kind of crops that he had. You know, the one under consideration, Luke 12, supposed riches, when they hoarded up, would be a comfort, but they were a burden. He boasted of the future, yet he was a fool. He should have had the attitude seen in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. "If the Lord wills, I'll do this." And that's the admonition to every member of the Tanner Church of Christ. If the Lord wills, we will do such and such. Any other attitude that you might have, excuse me for saying it, but it's foolish. It's foolish. It's foolish indeed. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. So if the Lord wills, it should be a part of your vocabulary, in your heart, and your mind, and your soul, the whole being of you. The covetous man then is a fool. Is a fool. Number four, he who hears but does not obey is a fool, although he thinks he's right. Let me turn your attention to the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, of the book of Matthew, verses 26 and 27. And here we had two people talk about Jesus, talked about by Jesus. One of them, both of them heard the word, and one obeyed the word, and the other went his own way. One was referred to as wise, and the other as unwise, or foolish. A person who accepts the word of God and hears the word of God and does not accept it but goes his own way is foolish indeed. Robert had a great sermon this morning. And toward the end, he made the plea that if you're not a child of God, accept Jesus, obey him, put him on in baptism. To reject that and walk out the door, my friends, you're foolish. That's what this wise man did, this man here did. The wise man accepted. He built upon the rock. The other did not accept the word of God. He built upon sand. And when the troubles and the trials come around, they just didn't stand. Who was wise and who was unwise? The one who heard and obeyed. The other heard, but he didn't obey. So we can be classified as wise and unwise. Each one of us find ourselves in one of those two categories. To disobey God is not the right thing that we need to do. Now, hearing the word of God is useless unless it's followed up by obedience. James admonishes us not to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Hearing is useless if we don't follow up with what we hear. Yeah, you could hear the warning calls, but we fail to heed them. This is indeed a lack of wisdom to not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last point, he who does not prepare himself for judgment is a fool. And this, of course, would come from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. It's the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Now, what is the responsibility of mankind? Was it Solomon who summed it all up here, the conclusion of the whole matter? This is the duty. One translation says the whole of man. Brother Nicholas used to say, that's the whole of man. That's all of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. The whole deal, the whole responsibility. The whole of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, you 10 virgins, you got a responsibility. You got to come and you got to have these lamps and you're going to have them trimmed. You're going to have them ready because the bridegroom is coming, but you don't know when he's coming. So if he comes quickly or later. But Jesus, throughout his personal ministry, exhorted over and over and over again to watch. Watch. Go to the Blue Letter Bible and type in watch therefore and see how many times it's mentioned. Because we're foolish. We're like some of those in the church of Thessalonica. We think because he hadn't come yet, he's not coming soon. That's a foolish, foolish responsibility to accept that he's not coming. He's not coming. He's coming again. We don't know exactly when. We have to prepare ourselves for judgment, for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Five virgins were wise. They made preparation. Five were foolish. They gave no consideration for what lay ahead. And throughout this world in which we live, and many are members of the body of Christ, give no consideration of what lies ahead. And we are being foolish indeed to do that. Be wise, brethren. Be wise. In consideration of this parable, how might we be considered as fools? Well, first of all, by forgetting the judgment that's to come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We might be considered foolish if we forget the admonition to watch. Watch, therefore. You don't know when the Lord is coming. You know, I think it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and then verse 3, I believe it is. If you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. I will surprise you when you're not ready for my coming. And then sometimes we might be called foolish, or fools indeed, by neglecting the inner life. What do you mean by that, Richard? Well, look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, and I think it tells us. But since your bodies, he says, they live in sacrifice, being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By your life, you prove that which is good. You have to promote the inner life. You have to work on it. You have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. It's not like it was in the Old Testament when we had to offer bulls and goats and whatever. Today, all you have to do is present yourselves as a living sacrifice, doing His will, doing His will in the way that He's prescribed for us in the Bible. That is what we'll have to do. Sometimes if we believe that all that's necessary is to be a member of the body of Christ while doing nothing else to prepare, would make us foolish. That's just the beginning. When you baptize for the remission of your sins and the Lord adds you to the church, brother, that's the time that we have to go to work. So many of us are like a little girl who fell out of the bed, and her mother asked, why'd you fall out? She said, I guess I went to sleep too close to the edge. Brethren, so many are falling away from the church today because they're going to sleep too close to the edge. Did you read the Cater Daily today when talking about the Grant Street and the Austinville church merging? And the one who's writing this did some research, and it says the Churches of Christ growth is declining some 8% over the last couple of years. That's disturbing. But when we look at, say, 120 on Sunday morning and about 60 that night, that ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us something. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope I'm not your enemy, because I tell you the truth. Perilous times are ahead of the church. And we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We might do a lot of good works, but the church has to be the one to preach the pure and the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, it will not be get done. So we're either fools or we're wise. I want to be counted among the wise. You're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation of our Lord. Would you come forward as we stand and sing this song again as selected?
Peace from the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessings o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of His golden glory, of His